Welcome to Indie Radio Garden. We present the highlights from community radio in the Philadelphia region.
This program brings ordinary citizens to the air to discuss issues related to health, race, safety, workers' rights, and the will to survive in pandemic times.
The first clip comes from WHGE-LP 95.3, Afro-American Historical Society of Delaware. From the show, East Side Pride, Rochelle Wilson interviews Mr. Harmon Carey, founder and station manager of WHGE, about the neighborhood history.
East Side Pride, where we talk about the history and the lives of the people who live here on the East Side. And today, station manager for WHGE and historian by trade, Mr. Harmon Carey.
They would clap their hands.
Yes.
They
and
would
stomp their feet.
And they get up and dance.
Yes, yes.
And
praise
the
and worship,
says, no,
much like the churches today.
No.
And a lot of non-black churches, if you raise your voice above an octave in a non-black church, they might get scared and run out of the building, okay? Because they think you're about to aggressively attack them. But that's how we worship. That's how we worship, right?
That's right. And Peter Spencer said to him, in a sense, and I'm paraphrasing it, how can you tell us how to worship when your white people came here so that they could worship in the way they wanted to? So you came to this country seeking religious freedom, and you're going to tell us how we should worship?
Yes.
So he said, you're not going to tell me. We're going to worship the way we want to. So he led his congregation out of Asbury, and
yes,
they went on to form Easian United Methodist Church.
Isn't that still standing?
Well,
am I mistaken? Easian, is that still on the east side? Right up?
Yeah, it's an Easian church here, but it's not the one that Peter...
Oh, it's not the one that Peter Spencer...
It's a successor church to that.
Okay.
The church that Peter Spencer established was first at 9th and French Streets. Now, they still had this connection with Asbury. Now, listen to this. Asbury said to Peter Spencer, we will assign your ministers. So Peter Spencer said, no, you won't. Our church will select who we want to serve as a minister.
Yes.
So he left Easian at 9th and French and went across the street, and he started the Mother FCMP church.
Okay.
And it was that church that started August Quarterly. And you are quite right when you say, Rochelle, that August Quarterly is the first black and continuously running black festival in America. After the fall harvest, blacks would come into Wilmington to praise the Lord and to ask for strength and direction in moving forward.
Because many of them were, to my understanding, the way the story was told to me, many of them were actual slaves who had been given or granted permission from the slave owner. After, you know, if they had been on their best behavior and they did really great work, they were allowed to come here from Jersey and Philly and wherever these slave places were to come to Wilmington to worship with Peter Spencer. Is that true?
Well, it is true to a degree, but here's what they did. If they let the father come to Wilmington, they would keep the mother.
Mm.
They held hostages.
Yes.
And if they
to
let
ensure
them,
you come back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's how that went.
I was also told that for those that did decide to not come back, but to continue to move forward, and that's putting it nicely, if the slave owner, the overseer, the officer caught them, they were brought back to the slave plantations and either a hand or a foot would be removed, would be, you know, cut off.
Well, some of that happened. What was more typical was not to do that, because slaves were very valuable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they want these slaves to work. Well, you
right.
can't work if you got one foot.
That's
you know what I mean?
Can't work as well.
No, right. So, but there was a jail in Wilmington at what we now call the Customs House. In the basement, there were jail cells.
Oh.
And if they caught runaway slaves, they would imprison them or jail them until their owners could be contacted, and their owners would come up and get them.
I feel some kind of way about that, Mr. Harmon. I really just do. But that's a whole nother story. But I do feel some kind of way about that. But moving on, you know, in this closing segment of our show, you know, you and I, we sat down, we chit-chatted, we went back and forth, we pondered, we thought, we wrote notes, we sent text messages and emails all about this particular show and doing this on Fridays to educate the people about the pride and the history of the East Side.
Yes.
Tell the people in your words, short words, but tell the people, what is it that you want to come out of this programming every Friday?
It is one thing to say that Wilmington is the most historic neighborhood, black neighborhood in the city of Wilmington. And for older blacks, especially those of us who came through segregation, we understand why. But young people don't understand why. So I see one of the roles that your show can play is providing them with the factual foundation to understand why the East Side is so historic. They need to learn about Louis Redding. They need to learn about Dr. Elbert. They need to learn about Ralph Marks. They need to learn about Calvin Hamilton, who was the first black architect in the state of Delaware. They need to learn about Peter Spencer. All of this will contribute to their understanding of why we say it's the most historic neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole list of people I could talk about.
Yeah.
Herman Holloway Sr., the first black state senator. Jim Winchester, the first black state representative. It goes on and on. Now, these people have left. So you will be interviewing maybe the son of, the granddaughter of,
Their spirit will be here, though.
Yes, indeed.
The spirit of Clifford Brown and Lem, you know, what is it? Lem Winchester,
yes,
and Clifford
indeed.
Brown and Joe Morris. You know, these people, their spirit and their energy will always remain because they are the foundation, not only of the East Side, but of the city of Wilmington.
Yes.
And I do think it is imperative that we get that information out to our young people. So if you are listening, I'm asking you to please continue to listen. I'm going to be here every Friday at 4:30 doing this, talking about history, learning it for myself. I'm an absolute history buff, so I love this, which is one of the connections between Mr. Harmon and myself. He is a historian. I love history. It makes sense. If you like history, continue. Tune in every Friday, 4:30, right here, WHGE 95.3 FM. And let's get the kids around you. Get the kids around you. Make it a family affair. Pop some popcorn. Get some licorice, whatever you got to do, some water ice. But sit as a family and listen to the history of the city that you live in so that your children can take pride in who they are.
May I just add to that list of things that you just said?
Yes, sir.
And that is, if anyone who's looking on or listening on has an idea about someone that they feel deserves to be recognized on this show, can you tell them how to contact you so that you can follow through and invite these, whoever they are.
Well, I don't want folks to inundate me on my cell phone, so I have to refer people to please reach out to me here at the station. You are welcome to call the station. We have several various different numbers. 844-944-3953 is probably one of the best numbers. But if you really, you know, are serious about reaching out to me, you know someone that should be highlighted, whether Eastside or just in the city of Wilmington itself. I'm talking about pride all over the city, but particularly, of course, here in on the Eastside. Then please become my friend on Facebook. Go to Facebook, become my friend. I'll gladly accept you. And you can instant message me, direct message me through my messenger. I did put my phone number and email out there when I first started in radio. And Mr. Harmon, I had people calling me at 4, 2, and 3, and 4 o'clock in the morning saying things that I can't repeat on the radio.
Oh my.
So I have to take away the phone number to my private phone.
I understand.
But I ask you and I encourage you to please call the radio station. You know there's someone out there that should be highlighted. I've got some people in my mind. I will be bringing them onto the show. I will have some fabulous historical guests, and I want to highlight them. So if you've got a suggestion, go to Facebook Messenger and let me know what is going on. You can also go to my website and connect with me there. However you find me, please find me and let me know who you want to highlight. I will interview them off air to see if that's a good interview for on air. All right, that's how we do it. Again, that number is 1-844-944-3953, WHGE 95.3 FM.
All right.
And so you've been listening to Rochelle Wilson and Harmon Carey historian and station manager for this radio. We ask you for your support. We don't run off of joy, happiness, and good looks. It takes money to pay the bills. So please continue to show us your love and your support. And we thank you. And we'll return you now to your regularly scheduled programming. Thank you, Mr. Harmon.
Thank you so much.
The second audio comes from WJYN-LP 98.5 Uptown Entertainment and Development. The host of The Tall Talk Show, Latif White, interviews Erica Alexander and her co-host Whitney Dow, hosts of the podcast Reparations, The Big Payback. They talk about white fragility, white privilege, and reparations.
There's white terrorism acting on us all the time.
Right.
And we can see it out loud when we look at the Capitol and see them swarm it, breaking windows.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't see themselves as owners of the future. And they are right. It is a wrap. There is a rebranding of America, and they're fearing for it. And instead of saying, why don't I go teach myself a new skill set, they're going to blame everybody else for what they ain't got. But I say, if after all these years you ain't got nothing, that's on you. And they do have everything. Right now, they're still in the majority in terms of power.
Yeah.
It will be for a very long time, but instead of seeing that as an opportunity to start to find common ground and create the America that is the future, we find different ways to recreate the same old thing. So what can be done? We can do what Stacey Abrams has done down south and organize and try to stop legislation that stops us from voting. If we get people in there and that in those spaces that can continue to obstruct and challenge us like that, we'll never get anything done. But I think people now see that instead of saying, oh, voting doesn't matter, they see that it matters very much. And so we can do that at the very base. What John Lewis wanted was to keep the vote sacred and to keep us going there and let it be fair. If you lose on your ideas, then you've lost a fair fight. But if you lose because they're it's rigged and they made it too difficult for people to do something that should be a basic American right, then there's a problem. So I think that that's what we can do, is that we can be good citizens and good people and good community members, but also honor the ancestors and everything they fought for and died for. and vote. And then also, when you look at George Floyd and what happened there and the unfairness of that, we must continue to hold people's feet to the fire and stand up and deliver mm-hmm. for people like him, who's walking around with COVID, jobless, and they thought that a counterfeit $20 bill was worth his death, was in payment for it. Mm-hmm. That's what his life was worth. And we say, no, it's not. Now we're going to, you know, we want to bring the bondsman in and stop killing black people, stop killing, attacking Asian Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. So what we can do is pay attention and do what we've always done, but we have to do action. We have to stay vigilant.
Right. That's it.
Oda, I got a question. So I was at the annual legislative conference in 2019, and I was working with the Congressional Black Caucus. And I did see Erica there, and I was just curious about what senators and reps can we back up and support that will be pushing reparations in the future. I mean, maybe the whole CBC, or is there anybody in particular?
There's a lot of them. Right now, there's a list of them who support the bill, H.R. 40, in Congress. Sheila Jackson Lee is the main one. She's in the lead. Ayanna Pressley, some of the usual suspects mm-hmm. are there doing that, and we should support their campaign so they can do it. But we also need to find out who's not on that list and push them to get on the list.
Yeah.
We support the people who are on that list and make sure they can stay there to do their jobs and more importantly, to have conversations and put these things in place. But if we don't push the people who aren't on that list, we're not going to get anything done. And often, because they don't look like us, if you have a legislator that actually is in your district, they may not look like you, we don't necessarily, you know, have that dialogue. And we should absolutely go up to them mm-hmm. and say, you represent me. I'm looking for you to support this bill, and see how many times we can do that and push them forward in a way that they haven't been asked to do.
So I have a question for Whitney. How do we go about dealing with white fragility and white guilt when discussing reparations? Because that's the issue that I deal with on a constant basis, even with my casual friends. Every time I talk about it, it's, well, nobody really wants to talk about it, and they get really defensive. And I'm like, guys, so what? Yeah. What advice can you give me so that I could, I don't know, try to get rid of that guilt?
that's a really tough question. I mean, that's a really, really tough question. Right? But like, what to do about white fragility and how to talk to white people about it. I mean, I think that one of the things that I think that, you know, that is maybe helpful to understand is that white people are in this really, really weird space now, right? Mm-hmm. Is that there are basically everything we've ever told ourselves about ourselves is being revealed to be false. Mm. You know, whiteness is tied to American exceptionalism, the stories we told ourselves about Americans, how we're sort of this essentially good people. And that even though we always knew this story was false, we kind of covered it up with these apocryphal stories about what it means to be American.
Mm.
So what's so sort of strange now, and I think that's what you saw happening on January 6th, is that for white people to accept the reality of their condition is an existential threat to their existence, right? And so when you say white fragility, you're not just talking about, like, it's not fragility, you're like, for somebody to accept that everything they believe about themselves is not true, that the moral structure in which they exist in the universe is false, that's like a heavy thing.
Right.
So, but what always really baffles me, and this is, again, I don't really have good advice, because I have the same experience talking to white mm-hmm. people about it. They get very, very, very defensive very, mm-hmm. very quickly. And I'm like, you know, you're not responsible for how you were born. You're responsible for how you live your life. So it's actually really simple. And I think once you kind of, as a white person, sort of accept the conditions of what you're born into. Oh, the other thing I want to say too is that mm-hmm. one of the things I think you're also up against with liberal white people is things they think that they're not part of the paradigm. They think that they're so invested in being good that they feel that they're... Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
So they're so invested in being sort of good people that it's really hard for them to see themselves that, yeah, but you still benefit from this system. Your actions perpetuate the system. But once you actually see that you kind of accept this idea of white privilege and how it sort of drives things, it suddenly empowers you to see opportunities to take action all over the place. So, I mean, I feel like I'm giving you a really bad, like not a good advice. I'm more just sort of saying like trying, I'm more diagnosing the problem than giving a solution, because it's really, really, really complex for white people right now. But, and I also, I would say, the thing that I think is always sort of strange is I say, when Erica says, it's, you know, it's already a wrap. The reality is like they're afraid of something that isn't really coming in a way, meaning that, yes, there's going to change, but what they're going to give up is so tiny compared to what they're going to gain. And that what they gain by being like full, like by having like a full partnership with other Americans is so far beyond anything that they have now that they're trying to hold on to. As I said, I think that it's more what we white people can do who believe in this to try and reframe the story. That it's not a story of loss, even though you have to give up something, it's also a story of gaining something. It's really about gaining your humanity.
Right, and I also have to say, as a, you know, I'm a Haitian, I'm first generation Haitian.
Same.
And, you know, listening to your podcast, I also had an, experienced a lot of can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Okay, can you hear?
I've been having to play the mute button game with this thing. I'm figuring it out. We're good. Okay.
But I was I just wanted to say to Whitney that, you know, also has a Haitian American woman, I also was horrified about the knowledge about the atrocity of slavery, because in school they don't tell you everything. Right. They romanticize it. So when, after like listening to your podcast, I didn't know what to do with that information. And Erica, like, what, you know, it's such a deep and emotionally like driven thing. And, you know, what is a person supposed to do with all that information afterwards, Erica?
That's a good question. I think you take in what you can and you try to see where in your life you might have more power than you think. We may never get reparations, and a lot of people who were interviewed for the podcast believe that we will not. But they are still working towards it. It's not important that we believe it. We believe that it's possible. We push forward and things appear. Because of the hard work of people who, even if they didn't think they could see it in their lifetime, thought it was an idea whose time has come. So I believe what you do with the knowledge is you do the best you can with it. And if it makes you stronger in what you're doing now, then good. If it makes you act or react in a way that you think can move something forward, then great. If it makes you pull back, get pessimistic and get jaded, then you were just looking for an excuse to do that anyway. Right. And you don't need that. You can just turn on any sort of Instagram post and get down about it. You'll get down about life, you know, because there's so much negativity out there and really hard things that Black people have to look at every day that truly depress us and send us into a coma. So I'd like to think that with knowledge comes freedom and strength. Yes. And they tried to take knowledge from us by not teaching us, as in slavery, how to read. And ultimately, we outfoxed them because we created new language. We created language in our dance and in our music. We created the excellence of being Black and being and pushing forward and persevering. But we also showed them time and time again the power of our deep understanding of forgiveness. We forgive better than almost anybody I ever saw in my life. And that's a gift.
Yeah.
But I don't want to become the reason why we don't move forward. There's forgiveness, and then there's, yes, I may forgive you, but I still will attack that wrong. I still will hold you accountable. I still will show up until you have to give it up. And again, going back to John Lewis, he did it for the beloved community. He did it through nonviolence, and he's able to win. He's a true superhero, a true American superhero. So what do you do with it? I think you use it as fuel.
Excellent. Yeah, so I have a my quick thing. I know we had limited time with y'all. We're pushing it a little bit. You listen to WJYN 98.5 FM Uptown Radio. My thing is always like, people think about money, but my little funny saying is, 40%, I meant what I meant. Because you say 40 acres and a mule, I figure, well, 40, what about 40% off of taxes? Mm-hmm. 40% off of certain things. Just give me my 40%, and I meant what I meant. What do y'all think about that?
I'm with that, Latif. College, I am with that.
Education, right? Everything. Just 40% off.
It's
everything.
A great idea. Like, that's applicable.
Yeah, 40% off of taxes, all that stuff. Everything. Education. We get a default at the end of the year. You know what I mean?
It's factored in.
That's what I'm thinking. Nobody's spending any money. You're just getting a discount.
I love it. You know, a lot of people put forth programs. William Darity thinks there should be baby bonds, and he has a specific program. You talk to Bob Johnson. There, he's talking another way. He thinks it's through real estate. There's all sorts of different ways to attack it. And I think, Latif, a lot of people said, why not give it to us in tax breaks? Just automatically for several generations say, you don't pay those taxes. But we're also in one of the groups that's in complete poverty. There's people that don't pay that much taxes compared to what has been taken, borrowed from us over 400 years of slavery. So that's the problem. And so for people who may have a better income, that would be a great thing. I think education, scholarships, not having to pay for schooling for several generations. If you qualify, you get in, it's paid for. That would be tremendous. I also believe besides taxes, which I believe real estate, having no interest loans, that would be great. So there's some great ideas out there. And Latif, they should call you to the White House.
Oh, hey! Latif in the White House. All right.
All right, well, I know y'all got to get out of here. But thank you so much for your time. Yes. We really appreciate it. If there's anything, any information you want to get out there, feel free to say it. Let people know where they can find you, where they can find the podcast and everything. I personally enjoy it. I will keep listening. It's great information. So please feel free to give your info out.
Yes, they should go to iHeart. And we were called Reparations, The Big Payback. They can also go wherever you listen to your podcasts or shows. You'll find us on Apple and or Spotify. Or those places. But here's what we're asking people to do. We'd like you to listen and follow us and rate it. Right now, we are getting really torn down by racists and bots.
Wow.
You can tear down your ratings. You know how that goes. So we can start to match their enthusiasm with people who say, listen, whether I agree with you all the time or not, I'm going to support this, and I think you're doing a good thing. Please do that. And feel free to rate us and write us a note and tell us what we could do better or recommend something that you want to hear in the future or subject. Right now we have 12 episodes. We don't know if we'll go forward after that, but we certainly would like to know that if you are enjoying it, what are you enjoying about it?
Right.
And if you're not, tell us that as well.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Whitney, you have anything to close with?
No, look, I never try and follow. I always do my best not to follow.
I let
Eric have the last word. And everybody should listen to me on this one. I've learned from experience.
You're talking to three black people about the last word. That ain't going to happen. They're like, Eric have the last word with you, but with us, we get the last word. Listen, thank you so much for inviting us on your program and spending this time with us and being supportive, but also for being interested. It really does matter and changes the climate and the air around us. And the more that we're able to talk about these things to your listener, to people who you have credibility with, the more credible we become with them. So thank you, we appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us. My name's Joanna Wykander, and I'm the program director at 92.9 FM WGGT-LP, G-Town Radio. Indie Radio Garden is a Prometheus Radio Project production.